Grace, mercy, and peace be multiplied among us through our Savior Jesus, who was and who is to come. Amen. The text for today is this gospel lesson from Luke chapter 13, and it's especially verse 24, which provides us with a narrow focus where we hear Jesus our Lord saying, "Strive to enter through the narrow door. For many, I tell you, will seek to enter and will not be able." There's a secondary text, which you probably recognize, goes hand in hand with Jesus' words from the epistle lesson, the first verse, Hebrews 12, verse 4. "In your struggle against sin, you have not yet resisted to the point of shedding your blood." Dear friends, these are our texts. Please be seated. Well, with all this talk about striving and shedding of blood, you may be starting to squirm a little. Hopefully that's the case. Hopefully that's the case whenever we open God's living word and are examined by it and found guilty and then comforted by the sweetness of the gospel. But before we get to that, I want to dwell on this one word strive, which Jesus says as an imperative in today's gospel reading. Strive. It's from the Greek word, and if I can pronounce this properly, I'm going to have to brush up on my Greek because Pastor Steve is a Greek expert. Agonizeste is the Greek word here. It's from the root word of agonizesmai, same word we get agony from. Agonize, Jesus is saying. Struggle to the point of agony, to enter through the narrow door. For some of us, that agony might be more pronounced than others. I wonder what your experience of agony has been of late. Back in June, Eric knows the story that I'm going to tell. Back on June 26th, I did something that I'd never done before. It was part of the running club that I belong to. It's one of those kind of silly challenges that we inflict upon ourselves a couple times a year. We called it the Old 96er, and basically what it means is you go to Commonwealth Stadium and run up and down all the stairs. And if that seems like a ridiculous waste of time, it kind of is, and also quite painful, but we do it for some reason anyways. In June, I had failed to run the Old 96er twice last year, and finally, this past June, I did it. I completed the Old 96er, and to really know what that means, you have to try it. Agony, that was the word that I described this run that I chose to do voluntarily to all my friends. It was agony. I felt terrible. I felt like I was going to throw up and die at the same time. Yes, we choose to do these things. I wonder, what do you agonize over? Do you agonize over the Christian life? Do you agonize over entering the kingdom? Striving. Even as the author of the book of Hebrews here puts it, you have not yet resisted to the point of shedding your own blood. And when I read those words, I think, that's a thing? Resisting to the point of shedding your own blood? Is that what we're called to do? I haven't resisted to the point of shedding my own blood yet. Even as I ran the Old 96er, I didn't start bleeding. If I had, I probably would have quit. Maybe. Now, somewhere in the writing of this message, in the composition of it, in the reflection upon today's gospel reading and even the epistle as well, I realized that this was going to be the kind of sermon that makes Lutherans uncomfortable. And I am one too. But before you dismiss these words or before you rush towards the rescue that you know is coming, or before you think, well, that's just bad theology, we shouldn't be striving for our own salvation, should we? Give the passage some time. Hear Jesus out. These are his words, after all. Why are we so uncomfortable with this idea of striving to go through the narrow door? And I'm asking, especially you trained theologians, why are we so uncomfortable with this idea of striving? Is it because we perceive this threat to the theology, the doctrine of grace by faith alone? Is it because we're theologically offended, perhaps even not on our own behalf, but on behalf of those who might hear and be misled? Why are we so offended? Why are we so uncomfortable with the idea of trying hard to get into God's kingdom? My suggestion is that we take a long, close, personal look at why we're offended, why we're stressed about this idea of striving or trying hard. Because if it's theologically motivated, okay, that's one thing. But perhaps, and I just offer this as a suggestion for you, I don't know about you, but I can just tell you about me, perhaps it's because we don't want to be pushed. It's one thing to choose a challenge, it's another to be pushed to one. And the spirit is willing, but the flesh would rather eat ice cream and watch Netflix much of the time. Dear friends, the point of the text is this. There's no way around it. Jesus plainly taught that entry to the kingdom was narrow and that reaching the kingdom took effort. You have to strive to get there. And there will be some who don't get that until it's too late. So, what are we to do with this text? This is the preacher's dilemma, isn't it? Especially you who have preached. Maybe you've preached from this text before and have struggled like I did to see where's the window besides the narrow one. We know the narrow one that Jesus spoke of, but where's the wide window? Where is, like Ferdinand said, this welcome embrace? We know it's there. Well, again, I'm going to ask for your patience and say one more thing about the Christian life, which is that there is a place in the Christian life for trying hard. There is a place in the Christian life for trying hard. Even in systematic theology, I remember talking about that. Christians make choices. We may not choose whether we are saved or not. That's getting into the minutiae of theology, but Christians make choices. The Holy Spirit within you enables you to make good choices, to try hard, to strive for the kingdom. Paul echoes this in the New Testament elsewhere. He uses language, again, like that of a runner training to do a race. It makes me wonder whether the Apostle Paul perhaps himself was someone who exercised, at least if not from place to place as he was traveling as a missionary, maybe he now and then went for a run himself. And then, of course, there's those words from Hebrews which keep coming back to my back of my mind. Where in your life of faith are you agonizing and pushing so hard that you're shedding your blood even? And you might think, well, Pastor, my life is actually pretty easy right now. My life is going great. It's smooth sailing. I don't have to try so hard anymore. And yet, when we look around, we see others who are desperate. And if you take a long, patient look, you might see people who are dying of one thing or another. You might not be desperate. You might not be in hard times, but they might be. Someone is. And so we come back to Jesus' words, strive, agonize. It's an imperative and it's coming from Jesus' lips. I think you get the picture. Now, all of this is quite heavy, isn't it? Much of what Jesus taught is like that. At first, if you're like me anyways, you think, well, there's a nice challenge, something to sink my teeth into, something to test my legs and my lungs, a big bite. Running the old 96er was like that at the beginning. I chose to do it for fun. But then when I realized that I had committed to something that was probably beyond me, it didn't seem so fun anymore. What if there was some circumstance that I had to run this race? That it wasn't a voluntary, optional choose to do it, but it was... Now, this is a science fiction movie plot. I'm going to spin out just for a second here. Just give me a little bit of leeway. What if, for some reasons of overpopulation in the world, for instance, use your imaginations along with me, will you? What if there were too many people in the world and all of us were made to run a race? A race that was so hard that only half of us would finish. What if it was mandatory that we had to successfully complete this race every year in order to be allowed the privilege of living on Earth? People voluntarily compete and complete in all kinds of feats of endurance, but what if it wasn't optional? That would be a different thing. Sometimes Jesus' teaching seems like that to me. At first, my spirit rejoices to be striving to meet his standard. Strive to enter the narrow door, Jesus says. And I think, yes, just the challenge I need. But then I try and fit. I try and fit through that standard of perfection which he held up and elsewhere in the Gospels, like for instance in Matthew's chapter 5-7, where the narrow door is described in much more detail. Love your enemies, in other words. Be good to those who persecute you. And he goes on and on and on and on and finishes with the narrow door defined. Be perfect just as your heavenly Father is perfect. Become infuriating. Well, dear friends, the good news is this, that even though Jesus did teach this, striving to enter the narrow gate, in other words, nobody was ever saved that way, except for one. And that was Jesus himself. In fact, nobody, none of us, the rest of us, that is, other than Jesus, nobody has ever been saved by following any of Jesus' teachings, have we? Jesus did not come to teach us how to strive hard enough that we might just squeak through that narrow gate of perfection and satisfy the Father's demands for utter perfection. No, Jesus didn't save humanity with his teaching. And this is where we can begin to breathe a sigh of relief. Enter through the narrow gate, said Jesus. Not because he knew we would do it, or even that we could. But this was his path. This was his trajectory. Through the narrow gate. He saved us by going through the narrow gate. His own perfect life as a sacrifice and a substitute for our own. He agonized. Agonized. The author of Hebrews says, you have not yet resisted to the point of shedding your blood. Remember Gethsemane? Jesus resisted even to the point of shedding great drops of blood as he prayed in Gethsemane that there might be some other way. And yet there wasn't. There was just the narrow door. The door that led to his own suffering and to his own death, which he willingly walked through. He chose to go through that door. He did it voluntarily. He did it. And now, by some miracle, by some impossible to understand mystery, his essence, his nature, Christ's Christness, is in you. By your baptism, by the coming of his Spirit invading your own nature and replacing it with his own, he has become you, as the Apostle Paul again uses this language, for me to live is Christ and to die is gain. It's Jesus in you now, and therefore, because his life is now in you by grace, through faith, you are doing it too. You are doing it too. You are going through that narrow door of perfection. Now, it's still a painful process. There's no way through that door without some discipline, and that's what the reading from Hebrews is all about, if you want to read it again. But discipline with joy, knowing that it's won, it's accomplished, it's sealed, the victory is there for us as a gift. Not that it won't take work, because there's joy in the work, but it doesn't demand your perfection. It gives you the perfection of Jesus that you can put on like a garment, like a perfect covering over your sin. And therefore, dear friends, therefore, strive. Listen to Jesus' words and strive, filled with his life, which is your gift. Agonize, agonize over the minutiae of life and how to become even better than you already are. Resist. resist sin even to the point of shedding your own blood in joy for the sake of loving others. Give till it hurts. Sometimes the things that hurt most are the things that cause us most satisfaction and joy. Nobody can tell you that. You just have to experience it. For you are filled and refilled daily by His inexhaustible supply of love. You are not going to run empty, for Jesus loves you and He pours His love and His life into you. That promise is trustworthy and His love never ends. So, dear friends, listen to the voice of our Savior today. Strive to enter the narrow door. Not so that you can point to that narrow door and say, "Look what I did," but so that you can point to the door who is Jesus Himself and say, "Look what Jesus has done for us. Look at the gift that God has given. He has made us perfect, for He Himself is our substitute. Truly, for me to live is Christ and to die is gain. Amen." Now may the peace which passes your understanding and mine guard our hearts and minds as He walks with us, before and behind us, alongside us, through that narrow door of perfection. Amen.